I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the horror of human trafficking and what the state of Indiana is doing about it. We're going to talk about what the problem is and the new ways that Hoosiers are trying to combat it. My guests are Abby Kuzma, Assistant Attorney General and Chief Counsel of the New Victim Services and Outreach Division of the Indiana Attorney General's Office, Tracy McDaniel from Restored, and Brett Bashore from Clear Channel Outdoor. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about Indiana's new efforts to combat human trafficking, basically. If you'd like to join the conversation on this important subject, please give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Abby Kuzma, a veteran of the show. She is the Assistant Attorney General and Chief Counsel of the New Victim Services and Outreach Division of the Indiana Attorney General's Office. Abby, do they publish your business card in volumes, or is it?
Well, actually, it's been sent back twice.
Okay.
For mistakes.
And Tracy McDaniel from Restored. We'll find out what Restored is. They're both in the studio with me, and joining me by phone is Brett Bashore from Clear Channel Outdoor. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Well, let's talk first. We probably ought to start, and I'm going to start with Abby on this, with a definition of what we consider human trafficking.
Well, there are really two parts, and you're looking at labor trafficking and sex trafficking. But you're looking at a person who is being used by another person either through force, fraud, or coercion, and that's the definition with labor trafficking. In sex trafficking, it can be someone who's being used for commercial sex through force, fraud, or coercion, or someone who's under the age of 18.
Under the age of any kind of meaningful consent or employment.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. This is exploitation of children is what we're talking about.
And, you know, we've had the Attorney General on the show a couple of times talking about human trafficking efforts. Why has this become more of a focus in the past 3 or 4 years in the state? Is it because the problem is getting worse, or just that we are more aware of it now?
I think that's both. What we know now is that it's a much bigger problem than we thought. Way back in the year 2000, when the TVPA was first enacted in the federal Congress, we thought that human trafficking victims in the U.S. were going to be primarily foreign-born persons. And certainly, foreign-born persons are involved, and labor trafficking almost always involves foreign-born persons. What we didn't know is the huge prevalence of domestic kids being trafficked in the United States. For example, we had more than 100 tips investigated in Indiana just last year on human trafficking. So it's a huge problem. I think it is increasing because the internet makes it really easy to traffic kids. And I think the internet is being used in a whole variety of ways that are really destructive, both to recruit kids and also to physically traffic them. So that's a growing issue. But also, I think we're just identifying more victims now. The more training we do, the more tips we get, the more victims we know about.
And Brett, how did you get pulled into all of this?
Well, that's a great question, and thanks for having all of us on.
Certainly.
Today. We appreciate the time to talk about this important subject. The Outdoor Advertising Association of Indiana, and those companies include Clear Channel Outdoor, Lamar Advertising, Outfront Media, JR Promotions, and some independents, you know, felt very strongly about this subject. And from a Clear Channel standpoint, we've been involved with Polaris since July of 2012. where we kicked off a campaign in Philadelphia where we blanketed Pennsylvania from end to end to raise awareness of this problem. It soon spread to about 15 or 16 other markets, and we just thought it was very timely to bring this initiative to Indianapolis because we understand that, you know, this is not this is a 365-day-a-year problem.
Absolutely.
It's throughout the entire U.S. and it exists right here in not only Indiana but Indianapolis. So we thought, you know, we have. As a media company, we have a responsibility to use our influence locally to support these types of campaigns and spotlight these issues in the biggest way possible. And we also have a digital network between all the companies in Indiana. We've got 35 digitals from border to border, 12 of which Clear Channel owns here in the Indianapolis market. And it's very easy for us to go up and promote this. And between all of these companies, we're doing a four-week campaign that we kicked off last week. It's going to go right through the final four, and we're going to be all donating collectively about $250,000 of free advertising space to bring this issue to the public's, to bring it up and to make it something that people are talking about. The more people talk about it, the more it, more they can look for the signs of what human trafficking perhaps might be. You know, when they see something, say something, and also for the victims. You know, there's one story I'd like to share, and that is late last year. One of the most compelling stories, I think, was a victim in San Francisco saw a bus shelter, and on that bus shelter was the 800 number to call. And she had the courage to call the number, and you know, she was brought to safety. So, you know, we have bus shelters here in Indianapolis as well. So, you know, there's real stories of the outdoor industry helping victims, and, you know, we feel really good about it.
What, Brett, I'm going to stay with you for a second. What made this, you said it had been a priority for your company for quite some time. What elevated it? There are a lot of worthy causes out there, making this a public service priority.
Well, it was actually, it started with our COO at the time in 2012, who was just near and dear to this initiative. And, you know, Clear Channel likes to go one market at a time. And it, you know, after going through, you know, cities like Baltimore and LA, Seattle, Vegas, Oakland, Phoenix, I can keep naming them, Miami, Milwaukee, Houston, Dallas, you know, it was time to launch this in Indianapolis. And it took quite a bit of planning, you know, to engage the local authorities, to engage government, to find out the different agencies involved, to make sure everybody was on board, and also talking to our fellow out-of-home partners to make sure that they were on board. And we did. So it took time and effort to bring everybody together. But once we realized that everybody was on board, they all felt that it was a great idea, it was timely, and also the fact that, you know, I think human trafficking sort of came to the forefront a few years ago with the Super Bowl. And mm-hmm. and now with the Final Four, you know, it also started to gain a little bit more speed. So I think, you know, we recognized that this sports event was coming up, and we wanted to get out in front of it.
We are talking about human trafficking here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Larry, welcome to the program.
How you doing? You know, you're talking about human trafficking, and I think the Clear Channel's being disingenuous. They want to infect our city with video billboards. That's the only reason they're doing this. They need to pay their share of taxes. But when you talk about human trafficking, one of the most egregious cases in this city is the Phelan School over here on Illinois. Now, I have tried to get in there to examine their process for 3 or 4 weeks. They have chaos over there. I think our kids are being trafficked in these pre-K programs and also the charter schools here within this city where they're taking these kids and stringing them out on dope and other things and depriving them of the fact of getting an education. I think that needs to be more examined because the programs that you're talking about is, as far as human trafficking is nothing but promotion and allowing desperate kids to know a way into the human trafficking markets. That's all you're doing.
Thanks for the call, Larry. We're going to give folks a chance to respond. Thank you very much for the call. Well, Brett, I'm going to give you the first chance there to respond.
Well, sure. Well, first of all, I want to clearly point out that a digital billboard is not a video monitor. There's no motion, there is no flashing, there is no scrolling. It is a static, still picture that just happens to be changed electronically every 8 to 10 seconds. So I do want to make that point that these are not TV monitors that are out there and running full episodes of Seinfeld. So. But with that said, again, this has been an initiative in our company for almost three years now, and we're launching it in, our hope is to launch it in every Clear Channel market. There are 37 of them, and we're into market 16 or 17 right now. So again, it's, you can't pick every initiative to get behind when you're in the private sector, but there are certain ones that are very near and dear to us, and this is certainly one of them. You don't have to be a parent to grasp the tragedy and horror of human trafficking. We're all affected by this, and if we can bring awareness to the public, and if we can also reach one victim in Indiana or in Indianapolis, and we can help them get out of these rings, then we feel good about it. We feel like we've helped, and again, it's our civic duty to give back to the community, and that's what we're doing.
And I should, to Larry's point that you were using this to introduce new Clear Channel displays, you're using existing billboards already. Right?
We sure are. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's not a new outreach campaign built around this other than pushing the idea itself.
Okay. No. We're using 35 digitals that have been built and have been being used in this state for probably the past 8 years or so. So this does show one of the public benefits that digital can bring to the table for the cities that have them, and the cities that I've already mentioned, have full digital networks in those cities. I mean, they can really help out the public from tornado warnings, which we had the drills today, to cold warnings, to heat warnings, to flood warnings, to amber alerts, to tracking down criminals and people who escape from jails, and the FBI most wanted and sex offenders. So there's a lot of good that digital technology brings the public, but that's a different topic and a different subject for a different day. Today it's all about Polaris and human trafficking and what our industry is doing to support it.
And Tracy McDaniel, I'd like to talk with you a little bit. One of Larry's points was about how particularly children, young people, get pulled into this. You work directly with young women,
I think.
In particular, who are attempting to escape this kind of trap. How do they get drawn into it? I mean, what is the path?
They get drawn in because they meet an individual who, basically shows them attention. He starts to groom them. Most of the girls are extremely vulnerable. So he, starts a conversation with them about how he can help take care of them, or it could be a dating scenario. I think I would just encourage Larry to, research human trafficking, because one of the things that we love about the billboards is a lot of times the girls don't identify. So being able, the fact that we have the Clear Channel billboards and having certain phrases as "he made me promises, the next thing I knew was in the life," for us, we feel like that's going to be a trigger, or they're going to be able to read that and say, oh, I relate to that. Because a lot of times the girls don't self-identify as victims of trafficking. They've been in the commercial prostitution industry. A lot of times they're recruited anywhere between the ages from 12 to 14 years old. So it's a huge public service for an organization like Restored and with Polaris. We partner with Polaris to really be able to identify, and hopefully they can identify when they see a billboard that something triggers in them that says, hey, that person said that to me.
And because so much of this does occur on the street,
yes,
the message has to appear on the street too. Traditional media and all of that aren't likely to be good outlets to reach people, right?
The billboards occurring at the Indianapolis State Fairgrounds and Castleton are really critical for us here in Indianapolis.
We are talking about human trafficking here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, my guests are Abby Kuzma, who is the Assistant Attorney General dealing with this. I'm just going to shorten your title here for these purposes.
That
Tracy
works.
McDaniel from Restored. And we have been talking with Brett Bayshore from Clear Channel Outdoor. Brett, I understand you've got to take off. We'd like to thank you for joining us. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about human trafficking and what Indiana is doing about it here on No Limits. My guests are Abby Kuzma, who is the Assistant Attorney General and Chief Counsel in terms of dealing with human trafficking, we'll shorten it that way, with the Indiana Attorney General's Office, and Tracy McDaniel from Restored, which is an organization, not-for-profit organization, that attempts to help in particular young women who are caught in the web of human trafficking. We've gotten a question from a listener who did not want to go on the air. It says, they keep telling us to look for signs of human trafficking. What are the signs? What should people be looking for? I'll let both of you take a crack at that one, Abby.
Okay. There are some signs. And one of the things that Tracy was just pointing out is that kids are really vulnerable. So when we're talking about sex trafficking of kids, we want to look for signs like, these are red flags, older boyfriend, runaway, truant, a history of violence and trauma, such as, let's say, for example, domestic violence, anything going on in the home, perhaps the child is in the Department of Child Services programs, et cetera. So those are the major red flags that we see.
Tracy.
I would just add, if you're in the community, individuals who we call it branding, maybe they have tattoos. Maybe they're not doing well in school. They're falling asleep at their desk. Maybe they're acting out in behavior, you know, even sexually behavior. Like Abby said, older boyfriend is a huge, huge red flag.
By older, we don't just mean, you know, your daughter is a sophomore and dating a junior. We mean
typically 20s.
I usually say if you have a 16-year-old and they're dating someone over 20 or even really 25 to 30, I always tell them to ask their child, if you're 16 and someone's dating you and you're 21, you know, what really do you have in common? You know, there's an underlying reason why that individual's dating you. But usually what we're going to see is guys are going to be anywhere between 5 to 10 years. But I also have a case right now where the individual's only a couple years older than his victim.
We are talking about human trafficking here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Ann, welcome to the program.
Hi, John and guests, and thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate that you are addressing this very important problem of human trafficking, and you actually answered part of my question while I was waiting on hold. I think most of the people I know are aware that the problem exists, and now I know the signs to look for, you know, someone who's being trafficked. What I would like to know then is, what can your average citizen like myself do to help somebody or attempt to help somebody if we believe they may be being trafficked?
Abby's nodding her head. She was waiting for that question. Thanks very much for the call, Anne.
Well, I think one of the things that all the parents need to be aware of is that trafficking goes on in schools. It goes on social media. So we really need folks to be involved in their kids' lives on that level. In other words, ask about your kids' friends. Ask where they are, where they've been, and make sure that you know what they're looking at on social media. We have absolute cases of kids being recruited through Facebook, Twitter, all of the social media. Really important. Some of them like...
How do they go about doing that? I mean, you know, obviously... I suspect many parents out there monitor their kids' social media activity. What's one of the red flags on a Facebook or a tweet or something that says, oh, okay, I ought to intervene here?
I think the bigger problem is that most kids have more than one Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So they have the Facebook page that their parents monitor, but then they often have another Facebook page that, and I see this common throughout all the girls that I serve, who they feel like that's the page they can put their pictures on or say the things that they really are feeling without their parents monitoring that. So I think being aware of that, kind of what Abby said, we have guys who will just go on and friend. You know, we kind of live in this era of social media where you have to be a friend with everyone. So the girls will have a guy who friends them or maybe sends them a message saying that they're pretty. And if that girl, you know, messages back like, thank you, you know, it's really that easy. It takes about 30 seconds for that individual to start having a conversation where they're bold enough to invite them to meet them somewhere. And if you have an individual who's vulnerable or maybe thinks this individual really likes them, they're going to be apt to meeting them out because they're not, I mean, they think that they're invincible. They're not really thinking about what is this choice that I'm making. And it's no different than a predator who's grooming children. I mean, they go on, they know exactly what to look for. They're friending these girls on Facebook. I think Snapchat is another huge one.
Yes.
Where they post a picture of themselves on Snapchat and then they think 30 seconds it goes away. But, you know, once something's on the internet, it's on the internet forever. I talk a lot about sexting, which is huge in our schools right now. Mm. Sexting can lead to trafficking because mm-hmm. you have one individual who gets this picture of a girl and then he, let's say his buddy gets a hold of the phone or maybe they broke up and for vengeance, then he starts blackmailing. We have lots of cases where it ends up as a sexting incident, turns into blackmail that can end up to trafficking because they're going to make that individual do whatever they want because they tell them they're going to kill their family. They'll put their naked pictures all over social media. So there's so many ways that an individual can be vulnerable to trafficking.
And I'm sorry, Abby, I cut you off too because the question really was about what average citizens can do. I was curious about how, though, social media becomes a pathway to this. What are some of the other steps that average citizens?
Well, certainly we all have to be paying attention. I think mm-hmm. that's something that Tracy and I would definitely advocate. We need to look and see if a child in school, for example, is suddenly making bad grades, look into it further. If there's someone acting out sexually in an inappropriate way, especially a young child, try to figure out what's going on. There's something happening here. So we basically responding to signals that we get is super, super important. Another thing we can do is just really encourage kids, talking to our kids about the vulnerabilities that social media presents. So, for example, if a person knows, just like any of the rest of us, if you know that someone might be trying to manipulate you on the internet through these kinds of conversations that Tracy was talking about, if a teenager knows that some guy might be saying, oh, you're so pretty, you should dance for money, and then is luring you into being a stripper, for example, which is a major feeder for human trafficking. If you know ahead that that's likely to happen, you're less likely to become vulnerable to, or fall prey at least to, these kinds of attempts to seek new victims.
Go ahead, Tracy.
And I would just encourage for her question is, you know, if you feel that something's off, call 911 or call the National Human Trafficking Hotline. And I think that's kind of, you know, Abby and I's stance. It's better to just say something than not do anything at all. You know, make that call. Call if there's an officer that you see that's near you, maybe have a conversation with him and say, hey, I think something's off, but really engage and have conversations with your kids.
It's easier to apologize than to grieve.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Nationally, too, a number of labor trafficking cases have been identified by next-door neighbors and people who are just paying attention. So, for example, there might be a situation where a 12-year-old's not going to school. She might be a foreign-born person staying at this house. And the next-door neighbor might be, what's going on here? But rather than do nothing, you know, it's worth making a call, making a report, and letting someone else handle whether or not there's something to be investigated here.
We are talking about human trafficking here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Jill did and reach out to us via Twitter. Jill has sent us a tweet saying, wouldn't messaging education be more targeted by using radio or social media instead of billboards?
I think billboards are fantastic because you have people driving around. A lot of times the victims are being moved from one place to another. So it's an opportunity. The other thing is the general public doesn't know these statistics. I mean, one of the things we're working on is anti-demand, meaning anti-demand for commercial sex industry and how destructive it is. So, for example, seeing on the billboards information like 13 is the average age that kids get pulled into this. Most people don't know that. They're not expecting that. Or perhaps they don't know that how destructive and how violent the commercial sex industry is. For example, the average age of death is 34 for a person used in commercial sex. The highest cause of death is homicide. People think or tell themselves that prostitution is a victimless crime. It is far from a victimless crime. It's extremely exploitive. So it's really important that we get the message out. And certainly social media is great. She's right. All of those means of getting the word out are important as well. But we're very grateful for these billboards because, you know, people are going to get information that they wouldn't otherwise have.
And to take Jill's question, and Jill, if I'm taking too many liberties with your question here, please reframe it. But I think part of the point, and I'm, you know, in listening to where the conversation has gone, if they're being drawn in through social media, wouldn't it be wise to, in effect, meet the enemy where the fight is? You know, if they're using social media to recruit, shouldn't we be using social media to combat?
Well, certainly it can be used that way. I think that's a good opportunity. We did a whole lot of tweeting, for example, about human trafficking during Human Trafficking Month. And I think that's a very good means of getting the word out.
I would agree, but I would also say the one thing that for law enforcement is that social media is growing every day. And it's hard to combat it. It's hard to stay above it. And like on a personal note for me, for the billboard, the other day I was driving down 65. I was coming down 65 South and I saw the billboard. And in that moment for me, I was really thought about the girls who even get brought in from Chicago. And if that one billboard, if one of those girls looked up at that one billboard and saw that and thought, hey, maybe that's me, or maybe I'm going to, you know, look up that link, that's one girl that we're going to be able to recover off the street because they don't self-identify. So I think it's done in a big way and we're blessed to have it because like Abby said, you know, we have, especially preparing for the Final Four, I mean, there's going to be individuals being brought in all through our city. And whether it's a Final Four or not, just from the operations I've been a part of, you know, there are girls being trafficked into our city from other states.
And that raises the question I wanted to go to. I want to thank you for setting me up with a cue there. I think the first time that we had the Attorney General, Greg Zeller, here on the program talking about human trafficking was when the Super Bowl was coming to Indianapolis. And there was a huge push to sort of get new legislation in place so that we could deal with the problem more effectively. Part of the trigger for these renewed efforts now also seems to be the fact that we've got the Final Four coming. How much of this is, you know, this is a sports-driven town. Sports are a huge business here. How much of the, you know, the rise, are there spikes in the human trafficking problem that correspond with these major sporting events? Abby, you're
yeah, absolutely.
Your
there are spikes involved, and it's very well documented. And what we're talking about is spikes in demand for commercial sex. So whenever you have a lot of commercial sex availability, you have a very high risk for human trafficking because 13 is the average age kids are pulled into this horrific life. So whenever you have a big group of people getting together in a party atmosphere. And really, Super Bowl is not the only place. Final Four is not the only place. It could be a conference. It could be any kind of gathering where you have, frankly, a lot of men looking for a party. Because in those circumstances, you have an increased demand for commercial sex. So that's one of the reasons that Indiana is involved now in this Indiana's Not Buying It campaign, because we need to get the word out about how damaging the commercial sex industry is. And we can't really make a dent in human trafficking of domestic minors involving the sex trade if we don't make a dent in the demand for commercial sex. So there's very much linked there.
Have we thought about attacking it more heavily from the demand side? I've seen some findings that I think in, I can't remember which one of the Scandinavian countries has, as if not eliminated, greatly curtailed problem of prostitution by shifting the burdens to the other side of the transaction and saying, you know, you'll get a minor punishment for selling sex. You'll get a major one for buying it.
That's a really good point, and it really does make a difference. We have good documentation that shifting the burden to the purchaser, the John, is a really important piece.
I'm not going to take that personally.
Sorry,
okay.
Please
that's
don't.
Right.
I'm not sure who came up with that label.
I know, that's
but
okay.
Sorry about that. But the bottom line is that it's really, really important to get at the demand here. And Greg is wonderful about saying that men need to stand up about this and be very vocal about how we can't tolerate this as a society. Men can't tolerate it, and we as women can't tolerate it either. In other words, when you know about people going to a strip bar for a bachelor party, we need to stand up and say, wait a minute, you know, this is not cool. There are a lot of people, kids, pulled into trafficking through stripping. This is not an innocuous behavior. So even some of the things that are legal, frankly, and appear to be okay, are really not okay in this context. Escort ads being the most extreme that we see on a daily basis. A lot of kids are trafficked through escort sites like Backpage.com. And it's really, really important that we recognize how damaging this is and how this whole industry is really victimizing children.
We have gotten a question from a caller who didn't want to go on the air. But if you would like to reach out to us, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Caller asked, how can people volunteer or help out with people, or especially children, who have been removed from trafficking? Well, Tracy, I suspect that one's in your wheelhouse.
Well, I would say a lot of times, because of the individuals are, you know, so vulnerable, there's not a lot of volunteer opportunities to actually work with victims. But I think what I always encourage is the best way to combat this issue is becoming a mentor. We have tons of children in our city who need an advocate or become a part of the Boys and Girls Club or Girls Inc. And change the trajectory of one life. I think, and that goes for boys and girls, I think making a difference, whether you're educating them or tutoring them. I know that child advocate needs, individuals to be guardian ad litem to really encourage and empower children. I think that's the best way. Restore takes volunteers. We have positions we're going to do the Final Four, the SOAP project. Abby, do you want to talk about the SOAP, where mm-hmm. Individuals can sign up for the Final Four?
Yeah, a woman named Teresa Flores, who is a survivor of human trafficking, has an organization in Ohio called SOAP. And it is what they do is they put the hotline number on bars of soap and then distribute them to hotels. And it's primarily focused on events, because this is something that could possibly be an answer. If a girl sees the hotline number and can keep it, she might not be able to call then, but she could call later perhaps. So the idea is to get the hotline number to victims. So, you know, they're going to be coming and helping us during Final Four, and we're really grateful for that. They came during Super Bowl as well and distributed some 40,000 bars of soap during that time. So we're very much looking forward to that opportunity. And we will be also, through IPATH, the Indiana Protection for Abuse and Trafficked Humans Task Force, we'll be distributing all kinds of victim recovery materials during this time.
Yeah.
We are talking about human trafficking here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits at wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Abby Kuzma, who is the Assistant Attorney General and Chief Counsel of the new Victim Services and Outreach Division of Indiana Attorney General Greg Zeller's office, and Tracy McDaniel from Restored. I am John Kroll. You are listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about Indiana's new anti-human trafficking campaign here on No Limits. My guests are Abby Kuzma, who is the Assistant Attorney General in charge of combating the problem with Attorney General Greg Zeller's office, and Tracy McDaniel from a group called Restored. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. We have gotten an email question from a listener named Dave, and if you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can do so at nolimits@wfyi.org. Dave says, if indeed the Internet is facilitating human trafficking, why aren't the Internet service providers cracking down? He's got three questions here, actually.
Well, the Internet is definitely facilitating human trafficking, no question about it. And there are a number of reasons why this hasn't stopped yet. Frankly, the websites involved are protected by a federal law called the Communications Decency Act, which basically says that when you post an ad on a website, you're not a publisher. The website is not a publisher in the way a newspaper is, because they don't have input into the content of what's posted on their site. I mean, there's some issues with that concept, but that's the law right now. And so that makes it very difficult to challenge the websites that have this information on them and basically are absolutely facilitating human trafficking across the country. Frankly, the business model of these websites is prostitution, which is illegal everywhere except for about two cities in Nevada. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not cool that this is happening. There's also a First Amendment question that's interesting in that, you know, even though this is commercial speech, it is speech. So, you know, that First Amendment questions always come up as well. We think that there are ways that we could combat this issue, but at this point in time, nothing has been passed. The federal government right now is considering a bill called the SAVE Act. It's actually, last I knew, stalled on the floor, but it is, or maybe it's still in the Judiciary Committee, actually. But it's it would make it a crime for the website to knowingly post a traffic victim.
And one of the other questions Dave has is one we were talking about just before we went to the break. From a supply and demand perspective, the outdoor awareness campaign seems to tackle part of the supply issue, that is, rescuing children off the streets. What is being done on the demand side to stop criminals who are looking for and buying the services of these unfortunate children?
Well, actually, Clear Channel has been very wonderful in also allowing us to post billboards that are coming up very shortly. I think it'll be next week, that are really focused on the anti-demand side, which is exactly what he's talking about. And it is we've joined a campaign that actually we started a long time ago, but Georgia took it over and made it better, and Arizona joined it. And we are the third group that is doing the Not Buying It campaign. So it's Indiana's Not Buying It. And the whole focus is to get the word out in the general public about how destructive the commercial sex industry is. So, for example, we're going to be dealing with questions like, who is involved? So if you know, for example, people's excuses are things like, she looked 18. Well, we know that the average age kids are pulled into human trafficking is 13. So people need to know that. I don't care whether she looked 18. You need to know that people who are 25 will almost invariably tell you that when they were first used in commercial sex, they were well below the age of 18. People need to know that. And so those kinds of statistics. Also, I mentioned earlier about how homicide is the leading cause of death of persons who are used in commercial sex. 34 is the average age of death. Those are statistics that people just don't know, and they need to know, because we have the misperception that commercial sex is a victimless crime, that it's not a problem, that it doesn't matter. And that's not true. When you know that the people involved were manipulated when they were little kids, then we're not talking about voluntary behavior of persons who just want to make money in this way. I mean, it's we need to combat these lies.
We are talking about human trafficking here on No Limits. Marion, welcome to the program.
Hi. I was wanting to ask about messaging on billboards that basically says you are loved and here's a number to call, because a lot of times people are told, well, you've been a prostitute, now you're dirty and no one loves you and you can't go back or anything like that. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. Marion, I'm going to throw that one to Tracy.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I mean, we do need billboards that say those things. I think from just the work that I do, a lot of times the girls don't self-identify. So in our case, the billboard, we have one billboard that is, you know, trafficking happens in our own backyard for individuals to bring awareness. But really what they hear is that a person has made them promises, and this person has offered them all kinds of love and I'm going to take care of you in a better life and we're going to have this, you know, luxury life and maybe you're only going to have to dance. But I mean, I agree with you, but I think, you know, we have to bring awareness, because that, you know, I'm targeting individuals who have been trafficked or individuals who are in the who have been in sexual exploitation. And that's the one thing when they come to Restored, we're a faith-based organization and they get those things. They get love, they get respect, they get grace. But when they're in it, they don't feel those things about themselves. And you're right, they don't think the public feels those things about themselves. But they have to be recovered and they have to go to a place that's really going to show them all those things, because they're not going to see that on a billboard either. They're not going to feel, even if they see something that says you're loved, I mean, they don't feel that way.
How much of this, I'm sorry, it's the question we sort of avoided in all of this. We keep talking about the fact that people are being exploited and all of that, and that there is money involved. Probably ought to talk about how much money is involved, how large a business this is.
Worldwide is $150 billion a year. So what we're seeing is it's the second largest and fastest growing criminal industry in the world. And we're seeing that other industries are moving into trafficking because it's more lucrative. So, you know, you've got a scenario where you've got a victim that you're using over and over and over again. Whereas, for example, in the drug industry, you have supply and distribution issues. You know, it costs a lot more money to get your money. And unfortunately, human trafficking is terribly lucrative, which is why we have to focus on the demand side. And as to what our caller said just now, it's exactly right that we need to focus, when we're talking about the commercial sex industry, focus on the buyers who are making this industry thrive, who are actually doing the exploitation of the children, rather than focusing on the kids who are being used. So it's really, really important that we understand who's responsible here and move toward that direction.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Sherry, and if you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can do so at nolimits@wfyi.org. Sherry's question is there a difference between child pornography, child prostitution, and human trafficking? Is human trafficking a broad term for this issue? Sherry, if I might take the liberty also of adding a question onto that, do we use the term human trafficking? Because child pornography and child prostitution, there's some judgment involved in both of those for the kids. Are we trying to alter the terms by which we do this? Abby, you're nodding your head.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. When you use the word prostitution, you're making a legal conclusion that person has broken the law. So child prostitution is a bad term, if you will. Under the law in Indiana and federally, if you are an underage person, meaning under the age of 18, used in commercial sex, you are a human trafficking victim. You're not, quote, a child prostitute, because you can't be a prostitute if you're a victim. So it is important to look at the language. Pornography can involve human trafficking and often does. And partly what we're talking about here is, remember, you're being used in the commercial sex industry, right? So if in fact you're in a scenario where somebody has used this child, and unfortunately there's a lot of child porn, in order to produce this image, and it's being sold, then absolutely you've got both child pornography and human trafficking going on in that scenario. So you're looking for something of value that is exchanged for a labor or service being done. In this case, of course, the children are being abused on film, which is horrific. So yes, it can involve human trafficking. It doesn't always involve human trafficking, but it usually does, or it could. So it's something that could, a question that could be asked.
We've also gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Michael, and if you'd like to find us on Facebook, you can do so at No Limits, WFYI. Michael says, would your guest talk a little bit about the long-term consequences of human trafficking for the victims? How might a victim's experience as a juvenile being trafficked impact him or her later in life? Tracy, have a minute.
Definitely. I mean, it impacts them for their whole life. It really depends on the situation. It depends on their story. All victims, and I like to just preface that, because when we talk about victims of human trafficking, you know, there's a lot of trauma. You know, there is sexual molestation. There's oftentimes rape. There's domestic violence. Most of the time, the girls don't come from a loving home. You know, they're involved in the child welfare system. So you have all this trauma, and then you're adding trafficking on top of it. I mean, it really depends on the victim. It takes years. It's not something that is going to be turned around in six months to a year. I have survivors who have been out of the life for over 10 years, and every day is a new journey for them. They have their PTSD is prevalent, post-traumatic stress. They have trauma bonding. They love their trafficker. They love this person. It's very relatable to Stockholm syndrome. I mean, it really depends on the victim. It depends on what recovery they have. What options do they have available? But it's a long time, and the goal really is to find some kind of restoration, and it's going to look different for everyone.
When they come to you, Tracy, what do you try to offer them?
When they come to me, I'm either usually with law enforcement or I have a referral. It depends on the situation. Most of the time, the girls love their trafficker. They may not want services right away. They oftentimes run. They usually will come back. But we offer them trauma case management services, food, clothing, housing, medical care, counseling, any kind of service that they need, we offer it to them.
Yes, go ahead, Abby.
I was just going to say there's a program in Indianapolis that works with Lutherwood called Ascent 121 that they've only been doing research for just a couple of months now. But so far, with respect to all of the runaways that they are assessing for whether or not these kids might have been trafficked victims, 60% have already been advertised on Backpage.com or another site like that. It's an incredible correlation between runaways and trafficked children. So that's another thing that we really need to address. And you were talking about the long-term impact. The CDC's done some really interesting research on the impact of trauma on kids. And trafficked victims, as well as other kids who've sustained terrible trauma, have all kinds of social and physical ramifications later in their life. So some of the things make sense, you know, like stress and suicidal ideation, that kind of thing. But some of them are like heart disease, diabetes, mm-hmm. a huge increase in just health problems because of the trauma that they have sustained.
Do we have any evidence or data collected on how these outreach campaigns have been working? I mean, is there a success rate? Do we have some idea how many of these, and they're primarily young girls, who are seeing one of these billboards or one of these other educational efforts and say, okay, I want to make a change. I need to solve this.
You know, I know that Polaris has had some success. I mean, this is the first time that Restored's been a part of a billboard campaign. I wasn't around during Super Bowl, but I talked to Brad Miles, who is the CEO of Polaris Project, and I know that they've had success. And it may even be success from a human or another person, you know, pulling in a tip and, you know, helping an individual. So I know that they've gotten lots of tips off the billboards, and they've seen some success. And I know they saw a lot of success during Super Bowl in Arizona.
Okay, did we? But we don't have any hard numbers. I mean, that's anecdotal.
Unfortunately, the hard numbers we have are really more dealing with law enforcement efforts, which are on the other end of it. In other words, they are doing research on the internet, finding hot spots, finding difficult areas, and then they're going in and doing sting operations. And they've had a tremendous amount of success. The FBI did one such operation this summer, and they had a lot of success in recovering victims. But you're right. I mean, we really don't have the kind of numbers we would like to have on any level with respect to human trafficking. We know we're not finding all of the victims by any means. We think we've got the tip of the iceberg only. And that's an area where we can really improve in all respects in terms of tracking the numbers, both those who are out there who are victims and also the recovery piece.
We've established it's a $150 billion annual, you know, the commercial sex business is. Do we have any idea just how many of these victims there are first in Indiana and then in the country, Abby?
Well, I mean, last year alone, I served 38 victims, and 34 of them were domestic. That was U.S. citizens between the ages of 16 to 24, and the other four were foreign-born individuals.
And this is just Indianapolis.
And this is just Indianapolis and surrounding counties.
And, of course, that's just a few people that happened to be recovered enough to, you know, be able to get services. We, as I said, we had over 100 tips last year. We're getting about four a week now, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. We know that there are many more kids out there. If 60% of runaways, for example, end up being trafficked, that tells you a lot. So we're trying to work on the numbers. We actually have University of Indianapolis and a professor named Lisa Elwood who's trying to give us a good number or a good estimate as to how many victims we might have in Indiana, but it's a very difficult thing to do.
Well, I would think it's a little bit like trying to prove a negative to some degree. I mean, it is a tricky to track down, and it would be nebulous. I realize we've probably been somewhat remiss here in that we've done a show on human trafficking and focused our attention on figuring out how to help victims, and we haven't given anyone who might be listening to this program a number they could call or a URL or someplace they could go to get help. Abby?
Yeah, the hotline number is 1-888-373-7888.
Go ahead and say that again real quickly.
Sure. 1-888-373-7888.
And is there a URL as well?
Yeah, they can go to www.restoredinc.org/help.
Okay, go ahead and do that again real quickly and slowly because people do not drive around with pencils in their hands.
www.restoredinc.org/help.
Well, I'd like to thank you both. This has been an illuminating conversation on what is a very important topic. My guests have been Abby Kuzma, who is Assistant Attorney General, and Tracy McDaniel of the organization Restored. We're going to be back on Tuesday when we're going to be talking. It'll be a lighter topic. We're going to be talking with longtime Indiana news legend Mike Ahern. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.